Today is Saturday, April 24th, and today you'll hear directly from an attorney for George Floyd's family. Madeline Simmons was one of the lawyers representing Floyd's family in the civil case against the city of Minneapolis that ended in a record-breaking multi-million-dollar settlement. She was also with the Floyd family through the criminal trial process, and that moment just this week when 12 jurors unanimously agreed Derek Chauvin is guilty on all counts. Of course, Chauvin is the former Minneapolis police officer who kneeled on Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes last May. And coming up later, you'll hear from a criminal defense attorney, Joe Tamburino. He's been a leading legal voice in Minneapolis for more than 30 years. In both conversations, we chat about the outcome and aftermath of this high-profile and closely watched murder trial. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's special edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Madeline. Thank you for joining us here on The Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So first, describe that moment. You were with the Floyd family when you all heard guilty of all three charges. What was that like?
It was emotional and overwhelming because for the last 11 months, we and the family have had to kind of live in the unknown of whether or not the jury, once the criminal trial started, was going to find him guilty. And although we were able to resolve the civil case against the city, I really feel like for the family, they couldn't truly start the healing process or the closure process until they knew that he was going to be held accountable for murdering their family member.
Was it the outcome you and they expected?
As a civil rights lawyer and personal injury lawyer, we see inequity and unfairness and racism. We weren't so naive to think that that would suddenly disappear in this jury room, but we were hopeful. And the prosecution team did an incredible job during jury selection to really get a fair and unbiased jury. And thankfully, that showed with their verdict.
And I understand you were on the call the family got from President Biden and Vice President Harris. What stood out to you about what they said on the call and what that moment was like?
That was a great moment because they reached out very soon after the verdict was read to offer their very heartfelt wishes. And you could tell from the president's tone and words that he was very genuine in the care and the support that he was showing for the Floyd family.
And even before the verdict, what was your take on how the trial went, how the prosecution did?
We thought the prosecution and the attorney general's office led by Keith Ellison did an incredible job. There was a wealth of evidence to get through. It was a very high profile trial, and we thought they really knocked it out of the park.
And I believe I read that you played some role in gathering some of the evidence used. Any insights into what you're thinking about as you're gathering that?
So we filed the civil lawsuit in the summer of 2020. So we had done a lot of that work prior to the criminal trial starting. And we specifically had hired experts regarding some of the overlapping issues that you heard in the criminal trial. And so we were happy to share that work and that information with the prosecution in any way that they needed. Because like I said, even though it was important to us and we were hired to get the best result, which was a historic settlement in the civil case, of course, we wanted to see justice be served in the criminal case as well.
And you mentioned the civil settlement was a historic $27 million settlement for the Floyd family. I want to ask, though, because some people have argued that because that settlement was announced before the criminal trial, that it could be one reason for the defense to now file an appeal and argue that it swayed the jury in the criminal case. What's your response to that?
Sure. So in the criminal case, of course, it was the state versus Chauvin. It was not the state versus the city of Minneapolis. You know, we had different defendants in our cases, and there are civil cases and criminal cases that correspond all of the time. And they usually have some overlapping issues, but a lot of times different issues. Of course, there's different evidentiary standards and proof standards in a civil negligence case versus a criminal murder case. So we didn't see them as really related as far as affecting the outcome.
Overall, what do you and the Floyd family hope this outcome from this trial means for future cases and trials involving police officers using excessive force?
You know, this was a unique trial because we had the incident on video. And of course, that's more and more common now in the age of cell phones and people's ability to get things quickly on social media and body cam footage now. But that's not always the case, and it certainly has not always been the case. So this was a historic verdict because there has been so many instances where justice is not served, and we don't get a fair verdict at the end of a trial in an excessive force type of case. So absolutely, we think this sends the right message that no matter who you are or what you look like or what your job is, you're going to be held accountable if you're a wrongdoer. What happened to George could happen to any one of us, neighbors, friend, relative. And that's why it's so important to, even after the media from this case kind of dies down and goes away, for people to remain diligent about speaking up and lobbying and calling their legislators to make sure that positive reform and positive change continues to happen so that we can have a more fair and just society.
Still ahead, we get legal analysis from a leading defense attorney in Minneapolis. Joe Tamburino was not directly involved in this trial, but he shares what stood out to him as he watched every minute of it, and also what he thinks the defense did wrong. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Ritual. A multivitamin should have key nutrients that will help fill gaps in any diet, but should not have any shady extras. Well, that's why I take Ritual Vitamins. Ritual offers a one-of-a-kind visible supply chain so you always know what nutrients you're taking and where they came from. That's actually one of the things that first convinced me to start trusting Ritual and taking their vitamins. And then the fresh taste of the pills that never made me feel like I needed to hold my nose while taking them actually kept me around. I also like their free and easy delivery options. All of that is why I'm so happy to be recommending them to you, and I've gotten a bunch of my local friends to start taking them as well. They're available for women, men, and teens. They're vegan certified, non-GMO, and both gluten and allergen free. They're even scientist and nutritionist recommended. So join me and get the key nutrients you need with Ritual. And right now, Ritual is offering listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/newsworthy to start your Ritual today. That's ritual.com/newsworthy. This episode is also brought to you by Rothy's. Just in case you're not familiar, Rothy's makes chic, comfortable, washable, and sustainable shoes, bags, and masks. And I love that Rothy's is always up to date with what's on trend or choose classic pieces to wear season after season. Either way, Rothy's come in a constantly changing variety of styles, colors, prints, and patterns. And these are high-quality products. I'm still wearing and loving the red Rothy's flats I got back in 2019. I can throw them on with almost any outfit, and they're hands down the most comfortable flats I've ever worn. Plus, I can just toss them in the washing machine for a quick refresh whenever I need. I'm also a big fan of the lace-up shoes I bought more recently. They're comfortable and casual while still stylish. And if you like to buy from companies who prioritize sustainability, look no further. Rothy's shoes and accessories are made out of plastic water bottles. So check out all the amazing shoes, bags, and masks available right now at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's Rothy's, R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy today. Okay, now back to my conversation with criminal defense attorney and legal analyst Joe Tamburino. Joe, thanks for coming back on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
So first, I want to get your overall reaction to the trial itself. Did anything really stand out to you? Was there any surprises throughout the process? What was your take?
Well, three things stood out. One is cameras in the courtroom. This was the first one in Minnesota history where there have been cameras in the courtroom and everything was televised. And hopefully that's here to stay. It was an amazing way to see how our justice system works, no doubt. Second was the voluminous amount of information that the prosecution was allowed to get into evidence. You couldn't help but notice that. This was the first time where you had officers come in and were allowed to say, gee, I wouldn't have done that. He used excessive force, so on and so forth. Lieutenant Zimmerman, the longest person, active person in MPD, he is not a use of force expert. But these officers were allowed to come in and give their testimony, which was great for the state. I mean, it was fabulous evidence for the state. The defense didn't object, and the judge permitted it. Third, it was a lackluster performance by the defense.
What did you make of Chauvin's decision not to testify?
Crazy. He had to get up on the stand. Unless he was going to be a god-awful witness and just come across as a jerk, he had to take the stand because everybody is a human being in that courtroom. That jury needed him to say, oh, my Lord, I am so sorry. I never meant for this to happen. I thought I was just holding him on the ground. I heard, you know, my partner say, well, I can't find a pulse. Well, he's a rookie. He's only been a cop for a week. I was concerned about this guy jumping up. Whatever. He had to get up there and humanize himself. Big mistake.
When you heard the jury was ready to give the verdict after only about 10 hours of deliberations, what did that tell you?
I mean, this was a no-brainer with the evidence that came in. 10 hours is not long, but it was absolutely no surprise. I thought it was going to come back guilty on all the next day, meaning not Tuesday, but Wednesday. And it was even quicker than I thought.
So what happens to Derek Chauvin now?
Well, he'll remain in custody until his sentencing, from now till his sentencing date, and one has not been set. But the judge said it'll probably be about 8 weeks from now, so mid to late June. And then the judge will sentence him. In between, the judge has a decision to make as to whether or not aggravating factors exist in this case. And if the judge decides that such factors do exist, he could go above the guidelines. The guidelines in this case call for 12 and a half years. He could go all the way up to 40 years. And then he's going to get sentenced. And I think he's going to get sentenced to 30 years.
The defense team has the option, at least, to appeal. What are you watching for with the appeal process? What could be their argument? Do you expect them to go forward with that?
I mean, if you don't do an appeal, I think you're not doing a service to your client. So I think they have to do an appeal. Our Court of Appeals is going to say, look, you didn't object, so you waived them. That's going to be the problem. There's a lot of things that just were not objected to. And on an appeal, that's called a waiver. You can't let it go at the trial court level and then say at the Court of Appeals, gee, I made a mistake. Can you give me another chance? Now, there are some things that were objected to. And the best one is going to be the judge not sequestering the jury fully, which means they don't go home at all. From jury selection till they come back with a verdict, they're tucked away in the hotel. That should have happened when Mr. Nelson made that motion, when the city of Minneapolis announced a $27 million settlement with the Floyd families. And then there was the Brooklyn Center shooting. And then there was everything in the media. And then there was a juror who had to be questioned by the judge who supposedly mentioned some type of a book deal. All of these things happened. So that's going to be the defense's best argument on appeal. I think it's a long shot. Appeals are always a long shot.
Final takeaway for the audience, just now that this trial has come to an end.
Watch these trials. This case shows you how the sausage is made. And the sausage is made pretty well overall. Everybody got a fair shake. Everybody got time to argue their case. For the most part, the rules were followed. And so it was a great window into how our system works and how good our system is.
Thanks to both of our guests today, and thanks to you for tuning in. As always, join us during the week for our regular episodes when we give you all the day's news in about 10 minutes every Monday through Friday. We'll be back on Monday with our next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.